church, right? If you're on your social media devices, which many of you are on your phone, it's like planted next to you. Your phone is part of your hand, amen, many of you in this room. So would you check in and just tell them that you're at Living Faith Church, amen? Give me a good amen on that. Amen. Spread the word. Share the message that we're sharing right now to your friends, your family. There's no better way to witness than doing the message over and over with your loved ones and who's on your list and that sort of thing and your friending and your friends, amen? So do that with me today. A couple of things I need to announce to you today is there's a outreach that happened even on Wednesday night. We were able to do the outreach that reached many of our people that weren't able to come to church. So we brought the church to them, as Alex Reese said. That was part of the outreach team, and that wasn't that picture, but you'll see it on our Facebook page, and just the love. The song that we sing that was taped live, I heard that that's going to probably win an Oscar for best musical score. If you weren't part of that, we had your voice on there. If you were there and you made it sound better, and the acoustics in that apartment was beautiful, amen. Saturday came just yesterday. We clothed over 75 families that came in, and we're blessed, part of the community. Free clothes was given out, and it took a lot of hard work for the team that did that, and they're a crack group of commandos for Jesus that just get the clothing closet ready every month, and clothes are there, amen, because of your generosity, and it's open because of your goodness, amen, for our community, right, everybody? Amen. Finally, we did a unique outreach that I'll show you the pictures of right now, and our team that reaches homeless people went out in our neighborhood, and there are camps, of course, all over the city. We have one that they found. Won't tell you the location. I'll let the outreach team do that. But there's literally fenced parts of it, and it's an encampment that they use. And our team went in and gave them lunch and food and beanies, blankets, and booties. That's which are socks, right, everybody? Yeah, amen. And so you'll see that, and what a blessing it was to see the pictures and to see them come back to the house of the Lord, and just see how they were so excited about what they did for the Lord and for people. Amen. Amen. See, you're part of that. You're making that happen by your giving, and I thank God for that. Amen. We do have boots on the ground, but it's done because of your generosity. Amen. So the doors are open. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
A couple of other things I need to tell you about next. The Dollar General has invited us because we knocked on the door next door, and we can set up a prayer table. Tomorrow, our prayer ministry, those that pray on Monday nights, and you can join them. They'll start here at the Student Center, and then they'll go to Dollar General, set up a karaoke, a table, and they'll pray for people, and they'll ask God to bless them, all that go into Dollar General. So that's going to be exciting. Take some boldness. Amen. And so it's not for the weak of heart. Amen. We'll speak at that today. But you can be part of that. Show up at 6 p.m. The more the merrier. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Well, keep shining your light. You're the salt of the earth. And finally, the legacy offering will take place Sunday, December 22nd. I want you, along with Irma and I, are praying. What are we going to bring back to the Lord that day? Your tithe and offering is wonderful. But on the legacy offering, we give that to three organizations that are making a difference for Christ on this earth, and we bless them. We surprise them. Last year, you should have heard just the blessings that they couldn't believe that this church was that generous. Because when we give, something happens when you give collectively. It multiplies. It does. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand it. I mean, you bring your seed, I bring my seed, and it just expands into this great harvest. So I pray that you would do something. Amen. On Sunday, December 22nd, above and beyond your tithe. Pray about that with me. Amen. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to live, the Facebook audience. Amen. Internet streaming right now. Thank God. Amen. Thank God we're a great church that has that ability to reach people beyond our walls, even with the gospel message right now. Your message notes, do you have them handy? Would you wave them at me? Or if you don't have them, there you are, good, you're over enthusiastic today. How about if you don't have them, raise your hand high and we'll get an usher. We got some precious ladies here, there, all over the place. That brother's going to be busy for a while. He's going to run out. Amen. Y'all, keep your hands up. Amen. It's all good. We'll make sure we give them to you. And I think we're still 100%. We still have some in the outside. But keep your hands up and they'll get them to you. Thank you. Mark not only served as a bass player, but now he's an usher. Where do we get a guy like that? Amen? And Mark has matches. He has paper clips. He has everything right now. Amen? You ask him for whatever he needs. Amen? He'll get them to you. We're doing a movie series. We're calling it At the Movies because it's biblical to do that. I believe if Jesus was walking the face of the earth today, Jesus taught in parables, and he said, you know, one time, guys, there was this man that had two sons, and one of the sons wanted to get all of his inheritance and just take it away, and he went and lived riotously, and he went and lived bad, and he lost all his father's inheritance, his money that he was given. And the listeners at that time, that was their movie, because they didn't have motion pictures. They didn't have a movie theater. And so they're listening to this rabbi tell this story, Rabbi Jesus, and they're like, he lost all of his inheritance? Yeah. But then he came back because dad was waiting for him. And at the long road, dad saw him running up. And dad ran to him. And he said, the father ran to him. Yeah, and he embraced the son. And Jesus told the story that was just like a movie. So I believe if Jesus was here, he would tell us a story based on a movie. Maybe not all movies. Give me a good amen. Amen. But he would take truth from every movie that he could do, and he would say, this is the truth of God. And so today we're doing 12 Strong, and 12 Strong is a story about 12 men that went behind the enemy line when after September 11th happened in 2001, and that when the towers came down, when in Shanefield the plane crashed, and then they crashed, the 19 men crashed and did horrific acts against this nation on September 11th. These men were the first to go behind enemy lines and stand up for our country and do justice, so to speak. And so, thank God, God's always been in the times of where there's a few, God will do much. Give me a good amen. Amen. With a little bit, God does a lot, right, everybody? And so, Gideon in the Bible is a story that God did so much with just 300 men. He 300 men overcame almost a half a million men that were fighting against him, a coalition force of that amount in a valley, and they took them out, not really even by lifting one sword, but how God worked through 300 men. And I want to speak about the 300 today. There was a movie made, 300, remember that? Kind of like a cartoon, and it's based on a true story of 300 men that they took from the Bible, and they made it their own story, a Greek story, and they fought an army of millions of men, and they overcame. God's always been in the hero business. How many recognize that? God has a way of using, remember the Alamo? Well, it was beyond that a few would fight a vast army. What if the story wasn't sad at the end where the heroes didn't die like they did in the Alamo? What if they were able to live and go on? And well, that's in the Bible. We have a good ending finally. Give me a good amen. Amen. If you read the Bible, you'll see that today. Gideon was chosen because he was the weakest of the weak, and he was the candidate that God loves to show up when people don't have any ability. He said, I'm the least of my tribe and I'm the poorest. That's what he was saying when God selected him. Because God loves losers, just like you and I. I don't like to be called a loser. Well, and neither do I. But sometimes you feel like a loser because life has a way of hitting you hard. Life has a way of taking the win. And this is where the people of Israel were at. They were under captivity. They were under the oppression of the Midianite people, stealing their food. And Gideon was saying, you know, who am I? And God said, you're a mighty warrior, and I'm going to use you. See, God loves you. God loves you. Some of y'all with him.
Yes, he does.
Look at me like this. I saw you. God loves you. God loves you when you're right, and God loves you especially when you're wrong.
Amen.
God loves you when you have your act together, and God loves you even more when you don't.
Amen.
God loves you when you're in church, and God loves you when you're not in church.
Amen.
That's the God we serve. Yeah, God pursues people that are almost rebellious to do his work, like he did the Apostle Paul, right?
Amen.
And how about us? Amen. God loves you. And I can't get over how much God loves us today. Amen. God often waits until we're down to nothing. 300, that's when he'll begin to move. When we don't have anything, right? So he can get the credit. If not, I had the ability, I could do it today. And that's what, so a half a million against 300, how does that work? Well, I'm going to tell you today. Do you have your Bibles today? If you don't, it's on the screen. My Bible's the New Living Translation. I use many translations, but this is one of my favorite. And so the New Living Translation reads verse 1. If you're there, you can read it on the screen or read it in your device today. And Jerubbaal, which is also called Gideon, he had an alias, right? I don't know what your alias is. It could be El Chewy, El Wapo. I don't know. You have aliases today. El Mandon. Now, what's your... What is yours? But Gideon and his army got up early in the morning, and they went to the spring of Herod. And there the armies of Midianite were camped north of them in the valley of the hills of Merah. And the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If you let them fight the Midianites, Israel will boast to me how they saved themselves by their own strength." And God doesn't like braggers, right? If we're going to boast, let's boast in the name of the Lord, right? Amen. Therefore, tell the people, whomever's timid or afraid, here's the first phase, they may leave and go home. So 20,000, somebody say 20,000. 22,000 went home and left only 10,000 that were willing to fight. Now we're ready. We got it now. We can do it, Lord. Don't, Gideon, don't take any more out, Lord. We're facing a half a million almost. But the Lord told Gideon, here comes God again. Doesn't God keep speaking when you think you finally got it? And he's saying, no, there's still some adjustments. I want more. There is still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I will sort them out. Who will go with you and who will not? And so Gideon took the warriors down to the water. And the Lord told them, divide the men into two groups. Somebody say two groups. One group that puts their cup to water in their hand and lap it up like tongues like dogs. The other group that does, who kneels down and drinks the water with the mouth of the stream. So only 300 of them drank with their hands. The others got down on their knees and they drank with their mouths of the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, these are the three men, these are 300 men that I will rescue with you, and I will give them the victory over the Midianites. Send the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions, the ram's horn, and the waters, and the warriors, and sent them home. And he kept 300 men with him. Isn't that an incredible story? Amen. Doesn't it make you want to shout? Amen. Well, what became of them? I'll tell you that at the very end today. And so there, I believe that there's really things that happen to us that we need to live for today. And there are things that we need to go all in for. And serving God is one of them. Living for God is one of them, right? Amen. And so when you were born today, this is the old saying, when you were born... you cried, and you were, you know, crying because they, you know, made sure you were going to breathe, so they slapped you, right? And then your mama slapped the doctor for doing that, right? Slapped the mom. But it says, you were born, you cried, and the world rejoiced, right? Everybody was in the waiting room. We have a boy! Yay! Cigar, you know, the bubblegum cigars, Christian, right? And the balloons, amen, they were there. Everybody was real happy because you were born. You don't remember, but I remember, amen? And so you've been given one life to live after that on this earth. And so the question is, how will you live it today? And so I want you to live it, because there's another saying, in such a manner that when you die, the world cries. And you rejoice because it's over. Amen. You've run your race. You've done all that God's told you to do. Amen. You live a life that's well lived. So people are crying. How are we going to make it without her? How are we going to make it without him? Amen? There's a living example of that, right, everybody? Amen. Yeah, and so thank God for that today. How are you going to live? Are you going to live committed to the Lord? There are three types of believers that this story tells me about, three types of followers of Christ in terms of service today on how you serve God, because everyone should serve the Lord today. Number one is this. There's always going to be the crowd. Somebody shout the crowd. It says this, that when the Lord said to Gideon, I'm going to help your men defeat the Midianites, but you have too many. I don't want the Israelites to forget me, because they would often do that as a nation, right? God would bless them so much. God would give them so much increase
I know y'all ain't like that, but this nation was, right? That they would forget about God. I got it all taken care of, and that's all me. You know, I got it. But God blessed you with that job. God blessed you with the ability to breathe today. And how be it in this nation would always forget about God. Again, this is for the church down the street because y'all ain't like that, right? Not today, right? Amen. So we don't want to forget about the Lord. The Bible says that we're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Not by works alone. Amen. Yet we boast and don't boast in the things that you can do and accomplish. That funny story about that man that bragged that he cut off that tail of the man-eating lion. He cut off the tail. And they said, with a pocket knife, they asked him, why didn't you cut off the head too? He said, because somebody else had already done that. Doesn't take any bravery, amen? Part of the crowd, amen? Getting a sucker punch in, amen? While everybody else is beating up the guy, right? Is that you, bro? No, it wasn't, amen? You got a sucker punch in there, amen? In Luke chapter 9, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. You ain't been in the fights I've been in. Luke chapter 9. These are church fights too. Amen. No, Luke chapter 9, verse 13. It says this. But there's a crowd, and Jesus loves to serve people, and he loves to feed people. Aren't you glad we have that sort of Savior?
Amen.
And so all four Gospels talk about Jesus feeding not only 10 people or 12. He feeds thousands of people because our Savior has that ability to do that. But look what the crowd does, the crowd mentality. But here the disciple says, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they answered, are you expecting us to go buy food for the whole crowd? And they answered, there were about 5,000 men. How are we going to feed people with 2 fish and some bread? It's a happy meal from a kid. How are we going to feed people like that, Jesus? And so I have to think about the 5,000 men. And by the way, there was probably like 10,000 if not more, because back then the Bible only counted men. That's not a right Bible, amen? Come on, ladies, rise up, amen? Put the ladies' Bible in there, amen? Ladies of Faith Bible. Well, and but there had to be some ladies there, of course. There had to be some children, because somebody brought their sack lunch. It was a kid, right? Are y'all getting entertained yet?
Amen.
I'm doing the best, amen, I can up here, amen? So hopefully you'll enjoy the performance. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
I'm messing with you. Somebody had to have like a piece of bread. Even in this crowd, if I were to ask you, hey, let's make a deal. Whoever has a cracker right now, you're going to get to go to Hawaii. Amen. We're going to spin the wheel. Yeah, you got a cracker. Somebody has a cracker. Somebody has a piece of maybe a pan de dulce. Somebody has something stuck away in their purse, especially a lady. Amen. They're going to feed somebody maybe. They're going to, everybody... 5,000 people and nobody had nothing but a little bit of fish and some bread. Come on, man. Somebody had to share. In the crowd mentality, everybody's stingy and they're only out to get what they've really out to get. There's no eternal thought like, I'm going to pray for somebody instead of get prayer today. I'm going to give a smile to somebody instead of trying to receive. I'm going to give a hug today. Amen. So somebody, and it's okay if they don't hug me. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
That's the crowd that I'm going to get fed and we're going to be part. I think if I would have been part of the crowd, how about you? Maybe I wouldn't have been, but I'm just kind of hoping I'd be. I think after seeing a miracle like this, right before my very, I think I would have followed Jesus.
Amen.
Why weren't there more? Why weren't there 5,000 followers of Christ at the end? There was only really one. It was John, after it was all said and done. And the crowd is noncommittal. And there are nations now, and they form this coalition, almost 500,000 soldiers that are encamped against the people of Israel. And Gideon makes a call out. He blows a trumpet, and 32,000 men show up to come be soldiers for him. 32,000. Against 500,000. That's still, the odds are still against them, right? But I believe God could have used those 32,000 men to battle, right, everybody?
Amen.
To come against the 500,000. And so, but the crowd will always be about themselves and about what they can get today. There's a story in the Bible about seeds, and we're represented
Every Christian in this room represents one of these seeds today. So in Matthew 13, let's read the passage. Let me read it together because it's a long one today, but you're able to see it there, aren't you? Yes?
Amen.
Somebody say the story of four seeds.
The story of four seeds.
And I'm one of them.
I'm one of them.
We are. We're found in this passage today. Jesus began to tell them the explanation of a parable, another motion picture he was telling them about a farmer that planted seeds. Seed one was this, the seed that fell upon the footpath. That means it was hard. It was a wayside. It was on the side. Represented those that hear the message of the kingdom and they don't understand it because they're not trying. They're not pursuing God. And the evil one comes along and he snatches away the seed that's planted in their heart. God gave them good news. God planted the message of salvation, but it's gone. Seed two is this one, verse 20. Seed on the rocky soil represents those that hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. Oh, they're happy. They're suddenly saved. They blow in. But listen to what happens about when they blow in. And they blow up. But then they're going to blow out. Amen. But since they have no deep roots, they don't last very long. They fall away as soon as problems or persecution for believing God's word today. There's a total collapse. In other words, under pressure. When the pressure comes, there's no foundation, there's no root, and that's why it's so important that you're part of a small group at this church. Because when pressure is going to come to all of us today, there's collapse that happens. Seed three says this, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those that hear the word of God, and all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries. See, there's lots of stuff going on in their life. The word is part of it, but it's not everything. There's these worries that they have in life. And the worry represents those things that you stay up overnight. You can't get past because you don't pray through on the right way. You don't claim the promises of God. Everybody's guilty of this one. I have to think that because you're human, right, everybody?
Amen.
You can say amen in church even if you don't think you're right. Amen. We'll love you because we're honest in this church today. And the lure, and it says the second one is the lure of wealth today. If that's you, you can buy everybody lunch. Amen today. Yeah, and so look what the result of it. There's no spiritual growth. No fruit is
produced.
Every one of these seeds represents, I have a fourth one at the very end, but every one of these seeds represents every heart in this room. Okay?
Amen.
It's just us. And I would love that it would be all victory, but there's a good commentary in our lives if we look at this. See, a lot of these people are in church this morning, or they're watching. Or they're in a church. Each seed, they went to hell because, you know, there's not fruit in their lives. See, because if it was, everybody was in this church that they're here every Sunday, these chairs would be the most fruitful thing that you'd, look at the way these chairs are staring at me right now. They're so smug, giving me that religious look. The seed of these chairs, because they're always here on Sunday, they would be growing and producing and doing great things. They never miss. Boy, it's quiet today, but let me move on today. Amen. There's too many believers that say, if it's convenient, if I have nothing to do, then I'll get involved. I'll grow spiritually. If there's something more attractive, I'm going to sleep in today. That's not you guys. I'm just, again, I'm messing with that church down the street. They're going to get mad at me, but, you know, I'm going to change my convictions and I'm going to repent and do this, but it has to be really good for me to go to church on Sunday. I found a correlation about sporting events and church that's incredible. Can I read it to you?
Yeah.
Thank you. The first service, they didn't want me to at this point. So thank God y'all showed up. The excuse for missing church or why I stopped going to football games together. Number one, whenever I go to the game, they ask me for money. Yeah, you go to a sporting event, they're going to ask you for money, right? And we look at that, well, the church is asking me for money. The second thing, the other fans don't care about me. Nobody says hello to me at the sporting event games. Why should they? Give me a good amen. They're going to watch the game. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
We're different than that. Number three, the seats are too hard at the AT&T Center. That ain't true for this. We got those extra wide seats here, amen. We ordered them because America is growing. Give me a good amen. Number four, the coach never visits me. Popovich never came. You know, Garrett, he's, anyway, let's move ahead. You know, Number five, the ref makes calls that I don't agree with. I don't agree with that. Pastor, you made the wrong decision and you don't come to... Number six, some of the games go into overtime and they make me late for lunch. Pastor preached way too long today. Number seven, the band plays songs I don't know. Yeah, that one guy, I don't know this song. Amen. Well, sing the words on the screen, man. Just God, shut up. I can be mean that way, amen, because he's my brother, amen. You notice who's laughing the loudest. Give me a good amen. Number eight, my parents took me to too many games when I was growing up. Young people, don't be like that when you grow up and bring your own family to church, right, everybody? Amen. Number nine, I know more than the coaches do anyway. That boy don't know what he's saying. Number 10, I can be just as good a fan at the lake. Yeah. I don't want to get in trouble anymore because y'all are, Irma, pull up the car. We have to leave. Amen. These people are making faces at me. Number two is this, the curious. These are people that are able, but they're just not willing. You know Noe, he no goe. Amen. That could be the Noe Christian, right, everybody? Noe don't goe. Amen. They just, number three. Number two, the curious. But verse three says this. So make an announcement, Gideon told the Lord. Tell them, anyone who is afraid may leave Mount Gilead. They were on the mountaintop and go back home. At that time, 22,000 men left Gideon and went back home, but 10,000 still remained. Do you know that the people were still, you know, you can do a lot more with a few people than you can do with a lot of people? If God is in it, right? Mighty is the mighty hand of God through people today. The life of faith isn't for somebody weak. It's not for somebody that doesn't want to persevere or endure or go on with God today. The life of faith is 2,000. I don't want to die. You know, I want to go take care of some business. I want to go here and have this. And so 10,000 were left in attendance to go do the army of God, to pursue the army. So these men had other agendas today. Amen. God will never do something in our flesh that we can get credit for, that you can do in your own muscle, where God would love to work through you and say, that had to be the Lord to do that in my life, to help me in that way. And all glory and all honor go to Jesus, right? Amen. Can you imagine if you were summoned because the nation was threatened and you could have freedom and victory if you believed in faith that God could set this nation free and you were summoned to fight? Didn't matter your age. Are y'all awake with me this morning?
Amen.
Yeah, it didn't matter your age. And 22,000 left. You don't care enough about our nation. You don't care enough about the people to secure your children, to let them have a fruitful future. And they didn't care about. And I have to think that these 22,000 men, maybe they had some church stories like we do. Like, I got hurt in church. And I got wounded in the battle. And it hurt me so much that I don't want to serve anymore. I got wounded once. We all have been hurt at church.
Amen.
We've all wanted to quit, even this house probably. And we could stare eyeball to eye. You're not good at living faith until you want to quit. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
It's not useful, really. Give me a story that you wanted to leave the church and you're still here after whatever many years, and then we can talk. Give me a good amen. And I'll go with you if you leave. Amen. I'll follow you. You don't get... anyway, I'm having fun by myself. Maybe you're thinking too much. I'm not interested in serving because I was wounded in a church. And Jesus is still saying, look, I'm still interested in you because there's something within you that you can do for me today. Amen. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus has some people that they're very curious about serving him. In Luke 9... 59. Are you there with me?
Amen.
Why don't you read it out strong, out loud, out strong, out loud today with me on three. Amen. Are you ready?
Amen.
On three. One, two, three, go. And he said to the other person, come follow me. And the man agreed. And he said, Lord, but Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go. And another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you.
But first, let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him,
Amen. Amen. You guys are good readers today. Have you ever been guilted into doing something for the Lord? Not at this church. They gave me this thing, and I think it was Alex Copeland that gave me this, and maybe Lisa gave it to him, but I think Alex may have done it. But they said when leaders come up with something like, hey, Pastor, we ought to reach the homeless, and we ought to do this. Pastor, we ought to close. I said, well, why don't you do it? Do it. Do it for it. Let's see how it goes. Go ahead and test drive it. And that's called being voluntold. But Mario voluntold you to do it. It's a good term. You'll get it later. So I've been thinking of this passage here about it's God doesn't have anything against family. Don't take it so literal, but he wants priority when it comes to the kingdom of God. Are y'all with me? Amen. He wants to be first place. He loves that families are together, that people are married and they're serving God together. But don't keep looking back also. Put your face forward to the Lord, because those people can't be used. You got to keep going forward today. Have you ever been forced or enticed to do something in church? I have. And I remember the first time it was my pastor, Luis Garcia, Victory Chapel, Escuela Street, House Church. He was preaching so much, and he was preaching in Spanish. And I tried to learn Spanish. And he said, los niños necesitan un maestro. Los niños necesitan un maestro. And he was like that preaching. I was like, and the 30 of us that were in that house church, were like, you know, I was 16 years old. And they were shouting like that in a Pentecostal church. And I was going, man, they need help. He said, ¿Quién va a ir? ¿Quién va a ir? And Spanish, children's church. You know that heavenly language, amen. I got to learn more Spanish because that's what we're going to speak in heaven, right? Amen. So y'all better learn it if you don't know it, right? And I thought, certainly somebody's going to raise their hand. And I was ready, man. I said, you know, pastor's asking for help. The children of our church need a teacher, a maestro. And I'm going to be the one. I'll be the one. And so I was like on the edge of my seat, said, Ken Vaid, Ken Vaid. Who's going to go? Who will be the teacher? And I said, I'll do it. And I thought for sure some like 20 others were going to raise their hand. But I was the only one that raised my hand. And there I go next Wednesday night teaching those kids from the west side. Give me a good amen. And they were rough, man. This is a true story. They were so rough that first day that, man, all I did, I had these cookies because that was a reward that they were, I had to get out of that classroom and I threw the cookies in there and shut the door. I heard yelling and gnashing of the teeth behind that door. But I kept on going. See, if you're forced to do something, it's going to be easy to leave. But if God tells you to do something and you match the vision of the house with the covering of the house, then you'll stick with it and you'll be fruitful. Amen. If you can get talked into it, then you can get talked out of it by your feelings, by your emotions, by somebody else if they offer you something better today. And God is not saying stop being curious, beloved, today, and let's get committed on this thing today. Right, everybody? And so, do you ever wonder how it would have been for those 22,000 after they got home? Because the story ends right. 300 men conquered 500,000. And so, listen to me. They all went home that day, free people. They had to, in those 22,000 that were in their house as cowards, those 300 were saying, yeah, God was with us. We set this nation free. Remember that event that you didn't go to and everybody came back and said, man, you should have gone. It was awesome. But you stayed home. It was kind of like that, right, everybody? God wants you to be part of his work today. Amen. But you got to get into the place that he's moving and where he's speaking and where he's qualifying, right? Amen. And that's what we're about today. Amen. Don't keep serving your past. You got hurt. That's okay. Let's put our big boy pants on again, right? Amen. Let's go to work for the Lord today. Number three is this, the committed. A few plus God is better than a majority without him today. A few plus God is better than the majority without him today. Amen? The Lord said to Gideon, I will use 300 men that lap the water like a dog, and I will use them to save you, and I will allow you to defeat the Midianites. And so the thought was here that they would, he said, Gideon, separate two groups, the men that are left, the 10,000 that are left. He said, you're going to look for the guys that drink water the right way. And he says, the guys that drink water like this, I'll be right back. Guys that drink water like this, that's just my stomach, I'm hungry. That get it all in their face and just look down at the water. Oh, look how good I look. I hope everybody's watching me today. Serve. Yeah, they noticed that on me, yes. I'm so good, look at me. And they're drinking water like this. I don't want them. I want the ones that drink water like this, Gideon. And I need you to watch for them, Gideon. I want the ones that drink water like this. Because I want veteran, seasoned, mighty warriors to be looking out while they're drinking, not looking at themselves. See, there's something beyond trying. If you keep trying, it's good, but you got to get trained. Give me a good amen. Amen. And the process begins not really with on the job. It begins by you just showing up and being part of God's army today. Amen. I'm all for the beginnings, but God wants to use veterans in this room today. Amen. Amen. That he doesn't want you to give. The mature people in this room, you still have something to offer. And again, there's not retirement in the Bible. You train other people the older that you get, and you mentor other people and you disciple other people. That's the role of God. You help other people, but you never stop working for God. Amen? And so who can come? Amen now? And so it took a miracle for God to use 300 people, 300 men, right? And so Zechariah 4, not in your Bible, says this, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Right, everybody? And so God is saying, are we small enough yet that God will use us today? Amen? If I told you I'm going to run a marathon a year from now, and it's going to be a 20K marathon, and I bought the shoes, and I showed you the Nike gear, and got up here and looked all good, in a year from now, so the year came up. He says, y'all need to pray for me because I'm going to run the 20K tomorrow morning. And I didn't, I didn't train. All I had was the nice shoes. I had the nice equipment, but I didn't train. I'm going to die out there. First mile, I'm not going to make it. There's something in your spiritual walk that's just like that. Are you committed enough to pursue God? Are you committed enough to go further with God? Are you committed enough not only to look good with the shoes and the bling and so forth, but you got to get in there and start the spiritual training, the aspect of it. Do you understand that today? Yeah. Discipleship is the process where untrained people become trained and then train other people. We're not meant to be the one that is always maybe elevated. You're elevating people and pushing them ahead of you today. Amen? That's what legacy is all about today. Would you be satisfied if your wife told you or your spouse told you, your husband or wife said, I'm 85% faithful to you? There'd be a lot of counseling going on right at the church, right? No, you want to hear, I'm 100%, honey, yours and only yours today. God is the same way. He's looking for people that are brave, that are selfless, that are sold out, that desire only Him and want to serve only Him. Amen? Will you have fun? Yeah, of course you will today. Willing and able, amen. It gets smaller in that sense of who is committed in the name of Jesus today. Before I read my final scripture, I'm going to show you one more clip, and you'll see how they faced an army, a Gideon-sized group faced an army that was massive, that was large, as you hear the numbers of what our Navy SEALs went up against that day when they fought. So we'll watch that last clip.
It's us. We're going in. We beat out the five other teams. We're going to drop in behind enemy lines, link up with the warlord of the Northern Alliance, General Abdul Dostum. We'll assist him in fighting the Taliban and taking back the city of Mazar-e-Sharif, which happens to be the stronghold and linchpin for the entire Northern Taliban force. The catch is, we only have 21 days.
How many troops does he have?
He's got about 200 paid soldiers and an undetermined number of part-time militia.
What about the other side?
The other side has about 50,000 Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters. Missiles, armor, rockets, mortars, machine guns. We're outnumbered.
Just 5,000 to one.
Now, gentlemen, once we land, we're about 9 hours away from help, which effectively means it doesn't exist. We're on our own. We all need to understand the capture is not an option here. We go in tonight, single ship, no backup. Some police your gear, got some rest.
Had a successful test flight?
We are the test flight.
Odds were against them, but God has a way, just like in our Bible story, of working through people that are, I don't have the talent or ability. God can, you're perfect for the Lord. Amen today? In Matthew's gospel, the final seed, seed four, somebody say seed four.
Seed four.
It's this seed, and it's where we want to be. Are we there? Sometimes you want to be honest with yourself, and this is the way it should be, because our rabbi, our Jesus, our Lord, desires us to produce this way because he loves you. He wants life abundant. He doesn't want you in the darkness. He wants you to come out of the cave today. Matthew 13, 23. But the seed falling on good soil, and the good soil really is your atmosphere. Where are you at? Where's your heart? You as a Christian. When you leave this room today, it's great, safety in church, but is your house safe? Is your dating life safe? Is your family safe? Are they, in other words, is the environment of your home godly? Is your home life godly? Is your workplace, you may work with a bunch of heathens, but you being there is the light of the world. Amen? You bring God into your neighborhood today. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. In other words, you're hearing the word today, but you're also going to hear it tomorrow because you can open your Bible and do daily devotions. And then there's understanding. You're understanding it. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to do a little bit of Bible study on that verse, and you're getting stronger in God. That's what it takes, because this one produces a crop. It continues. This is the fruitful life, yielding 100, 60, 30 times more than what it sowed today. And that's the fruitful life. How are you responding today to the Word of God? It's evident on it whether you'll be fruitful. The wayside, the foot trodden, a seed, it has no time for the Word. It doesn't make it a priority. At the house of God, I'm there on Sundays if we're not out of town. The stony one, you're a flash in the pan. You get, you know, hey, I'm saved one day and I'm not saved another day. You blow in, you blow up, and you blow out. The thorny one is the one that comes together and they hurt other Christians, but they choke out the word. And the choking out of the word is, there's too many things going on and I don't have enough time today. I'll see today. Amen. The same is true today, that God would equip you. God would allow you to serve him today, because we would serve our kings, but he's giving you the goods to do what you have to do for him today. There's a beautiful picture that I have of a mighty man in the History Channel recently titled The Man Who Predicted 9/11. His name was Rick Riscoli, and he was a 62-year-old man, and he was in charge of security for Morgan Stanley during the September 11th attacks. And he knew, because he knew that terrorists would one day come because of what had been trending, what had been going on in the history of the terrorism up to that point, that they could use jets to fly into the Twin Towers, and he was ready for them when they did that as a man that protected the Morgan Stanley employees, 2,800 of them. So when September 11th happened and the first jet flew in early in the morning to Tower 1, he was in Tower 2 where the Morgan Stanley corporate offices are. And rather than listen to the news like stay calm, stay in your seats, that's what they were told, he evacuated all of the employees. He said, let's get out calmly. With a bullhorn, he was singing God Bless America as they were coming down the stairs, because the elevators at that time weren't operational. They'd shut them down also in Tower 2. And he was singing patriotic hymns. He was shouting, you're going to be heroes. You're going to have a story to tell. You made it. He was encouraging them.
all of them got out of the employees of Morgan Stanley and Tower 2 because he didn't listen to the other voice. He knew what was within him. He's last seen going up. He was one of the almost 3,000 that died that day. He's last seen going up to the 10th floor because he's still trying to. He said this, and two deputies followed him that he had. He said, there's still more up there that we have to rescue. And he's last seen going up to the 10th flight of stairs rescuing. When they did the History Channel, a documentary, there's tears in people's eyes. And they're saying, this man saved me. This man, I praise him because what he did, and he had the thought of going back in and helping me get out. He was a hero. He's a hero in our nation's history now. We may never be on the History Channel like this man was, but you know you can be a hero to this church, just like Leno was, just like my father was, just like John Swinkle was, just like all those that have gone before us and established this work of God. There's still work to do. And one day we'll speak of you. Yeah. What will be your testimony? I pray that it's one that man served God. And everything that he had, he loved the Lord. That lady, she gave it all to the very end. She kept serving God even in her bed. She was praying and she was believing God. Amen. If that's the end of us today, right, everybody? God still has a plan for your life today, and I just came to remind you of that today. Amen. There's a number of men and women in this room that I just want to thank, that Irma and I just want to say thank you, because every week you come ready, you serve, you willingly serve with a good attitude. We know where you're at. You know that you come and showed up today. You're selfless enough to say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve people today. Amen? And that is us today, Living Faith. Give me a good amen. Amen. May your greatest legacy be the lives that you've touched eternally, forever are changed today. Let's bow in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're not strong enough, Lord, today to defeat sin on our own. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus defeated sin, hell, and the grave on our behalf. And so I pray for all the saints in this room and watching on the internet right now that we would make the choice not to be part of a crowd, in a group. We'd stand separate. We would not just be curious about the things of God, but we would make a move to separate and become a committed core of people doing great work, Lord. Again, we bless those, God, right now. We thank you, God, for the church family. Thank you for what they do on a weekly basis. Thank you, God. Would you begin to stir our hearts to do much more, God? There's more mountains to conquer. There's more people to reach, Lord. The best is yet to still come for this church, Lord, and the leadership. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord fill you with all that you need to accomplish His will right now on this earth. As you continue to pray with me right now, you know that you're far away from God. And at this moment, I want to introduce you to the one that will bring you home, the one that will say there's a place for you at the table of the Lord, the one that will forgive your sins. His name is Jesus. And if you've never met Jesus or you're far away from Him, you were once close to Him, but you don't recognize Him as your Savior anymore. You become that today. You want to recognize God to move on your heart today. This is that moment of favor. Move right now while God's asking you to move. And I'm going to ask you to move by just lifting up your hand right where you're at. No one's going to see your hand but me. Today, we're praying a prayer of repentance today. You'll pray it right there where you're at. I'll pray it on the platform. We'll pray it together. If that's you in this house, would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me. Don't forget about me. I want to receive God's grace. I want to receive God's forgiveness. Anyone in the house, just making sure. God bless you. I see your hand. Yes, sister. Somebody else. Someone else. Amen. The benefit of that one person right now, we stop the service and we pray this prayer together. You pray it loud enough that lifted your hand right now to pray this prayer. Everyone else, pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, wash them away. My shame, my sin. My precious Jesus died on the cross for me. Because of that, now I live. I have a story to tell. I have a testimony. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. I want to just say this over you. Speak this over you. Right now, healing is taking place in your life right now. Your physical body needs to be made well. Receive the bread of God right now. In the name of Jesus, be healed by the stripes of Christ. Your emotions need, some of y'all need to stand in proxy for your wife right now. They're emotionally damaged, and you know that you're married to her. And right now, this is that specific word that she needs to be healed in Jesus' name. Heal that precious bride. You love her in the name of Jesus, and you die for her. Healing right now. Heal that precious lady right now. She may not even be here right now, but we're sending the word of healing right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're healing all of us, Lord, of all of our diseases right now. Thank you. All of our depression right now. The blood of Jesus heals us right now. Thank you. We receive the goodness of God. Amen and amen. Amen. There's new life at Living Faith Church. There's a growing in faith card in front of you. If you receive from the Lord today, let me know about that. There's praise reports. If you need prayer, there's a growing in faith card. I'm sorry, there's a connection card in front of you. And you can fill that out and give that back to us. Give it to Linda or myself. We'll take that. We take that and pray for you. We're still praying for that one request that Irma and I have on our table. We're believing God for your restoration of your family, that your son's coming home in the name of the Lord. There's a growing in faith class that you need to be part of. We'd love to be part of it at 9 a.m. Amen. Amen. Our tithe and offering is something that we do every week today. We do that on Sundays. We celebrate. You can do it 24/7 with the app. You can do 24/7 text to give. Several ways to do it. You'll see it up there. The last thing I need to tell you about before I exit the platform, we sing a song with our tithe and offering and pray. We do a connection luncheon. We do it every quarter. We're doing it today. If you'd like to be part of the church family, I personally will get past. We feed you a good meal. We tell you the story of Living Faith Church and what our future is. If you'd like to be part of that class, make sure that you see Linda Ziegler. She'll be at the welcome table because the rapture may happen, but she's not here right now, okay? We're out. Let's go ahead and stand. Hold your seed in your hand. Hold your generous offering in your hand. Let's pray together. Let's ask God to bless your tithe and your offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for the generosity of this church. It goes without saying, they're the most generous people on the face of the planet. In the name of Jesus, we pray blessings. May the blessing of the Lord add no sorrow to your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness, my God, that is who you are. If you're working, even when I can't feel if you're working, you never stop working. Even when I can't see if you're working, and even when